Oops, where's it gone? This morning we're reading from Luke 7, 17 to 23. And this is when John's followers came to ask Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him about all these things, calling two of them. He sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sickness, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back, report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy and are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me."
Okay, before we get started, I have a quick important thing for you guys to work with me on. It's been pointed out to me that sometimes I give my family a hard time from the pulpit or in announcements. So I thought this might be an opportunity, not just for my family, but some people who might feel for my family, to say some things about me, from the group back to the front, about me. Okay, so I have three categories here, and I'll write down some of the things that you say about me. Now, you can say whatever you like about me. It's like I am getting counselling, so I'll just add any of the negatives to that, so we'll be able to work through some of those areas, all right? So anyone want to get... Honey, would you like to get going on the... You don't want to get this started. This is your opportunity, babe. Well, once I get a few, you'll see what the columns are for. Anyone?
Sports fanatic.
Sports fanatic. Indecisive. Yep.
Workaholic.
Okay, workaholic. Ish. Anything else? A man's man? Jamie, you want to say anything about me? Good looking, great dad. Papa Bear. I'm going to put that one over here. All right. Anyone else?
A mate.
A mate. That's over here as well. Committed, fun. I'm going to put committed over here. I'll put fun there. That ties in with one, yes. Anyone else? Yes. Oh, I love you, Shirley. Oh, and happy birthday too. So I'll put good looking. Is that okay? I'll just. Handsome, something like that. All right. Yes, yes. I see that hand.
Relational.
I'm going to put that one over here too. Yeah, I thought it did. Can't spell, yes, that's already... Yes, sir.
You stole that GT from me when we were fishing that time.
I did, so I'm a thief. I before E, except after C, is that right? Good. Faithful. I'm going to put faithful over here. All right, I'll use three more because we do want to get home for lunch. Faithful. Anyone else? Yes, David. Cunning. Yeah, it's easy to spell. All right. Yes, John.
Easy to talk to.
Easy. Yes. Sorry. Caring and compassion. I'm going to put these ones over here. All right, that'll do us. I will put one here from my insurance company, MO, morbidly obese. All right. Now, on that chart there, you've got three areas. Can anyone guess what area this is? Appearance. Thank you very much. Good looking, handsome, morbidly obese, Papa Bear. It's who I am. It's what I look like. So good hair could have gone there. All right, this one, sports and all that sort of stuff. What area do you think that is? So we've got body, personality. He's got personality, style, talk, walk, yeah. So what else in personality? Where does personality fit into three main categories? So I've got body, soul, very good. So you got the idea? And this one, spirit. All right, so you can see that a lot of the soul stuff, it's a debatable on those two, isn't it? You can see why I scratched my head to start with. Because the soul and the spirit are tricky to separate. The Bible says that only the Word of God can separate the soul and the spirit. And sometimes we shove them across from each other. To give you a clue, on Wednesday morning at Fat Boys, I talked to them about who are we and what are we made of? Are we body, soul and spirit? And if we are body, soul and spirit, what does that actually mean? And you might find that the body one is pretty easy to work out on. And one thing about our body is it's not really getting any better, is it? In my head, I'm still 25 years old, fit, and a six-pack, and able to run 5Ks in 17 minutes. In my head, 25-year-old. But in the reality, after I walk up the stairs at the tower, I'm 54, unable to walk upstairs without puffing, and there's no six-pack, it's a keg. So I'm in big trouble body-wise. So my body's in trouble, even though Shirley was very loving and caring for me. Soul, it's very complex. What is our soul and who are we really when we're made up from? And so really, there's a lot of things that we don't know, do we? Apart from, thank you very much for bringing Thief out for a minute. That was good work. So when we talked with the Fat Boys, there was much debate and conversation about spirit and soul, and the majority of things were thrown into the soul, and there was much discussion over, well, that doesn't fit. And so I said, well, does that go in the spirit? And they go, no, but what is our spirit? Do we have a spirit? And if we have a spirit, how does that fit for us? And if we are spirit, then that means we should be spiritual. And the atheists are going, well, I don't want to be spiritual, I'm an atheist. How can I be spirit and be an atheist? Because if I'm spirit in part of who I am, then there must be something beyond that, and I don't believe that, so no, there is no spirit. But then the guys talked about it, and some of the things that came up are literally in textbooks. So let me just go through a few things for you before we get into this amazing passage from Luke. The body is the physiological. It's what we see. And sometimes what we see, we get judgments on, don't we? We look at someone and we put them into a box straight away. And that's not real good or real helpful in so many areas. The body is also made up of our nervous system. And if you've had nervous system stuff issues, then boy, oh boy, you know about that, don't you? And we also have our five senses, sight and hearing and taste and smell and touch. So they're a lot of our physical stuff. They will be with us unless things start to go wrong and issues can come about there. The body allows us to relate to our environment. So when we walk around, we can pick up sight and sound and smell and we get into it. And it's also very much a functional thing. If the body's not working, you don't get to walk around, do you? The function of where we're at, we can't move. So it's a bit of a struggle. The soul is the psychological. And most people put these three things into the soul: the mind, the emotion, and the will. And out of our will comes choices. It talks about self-consciousness. It's the ability to relate to others. And the other section is personality. Now, the interesting thing out of the soul, they reckon, come beliefs, what we believe and how we believe out of our soul, feelings, and I've already said emotions. Now, the spirit, which is where some people will debate and talk about, is this spirit truly real? Out of our spirit, we get the spiritual. And out of that, you get your intuition. Intuition. Anyone ever had those moments of intuition? Something happens. Our conscience. So it ties in with the spirit. And here's an interesting one for us: the fact of communion. Now, the Fat Boys, when they were discussing this communion or community, came up very strongly because a number of them come from sporting background and talked about team spirit or community spirit or the town spirit. And so some of them went, okay, well, if there is team spirit, then there must be something in that for each and every one of us. So it was interesting for them to work that through. The other one that is comes out of this is very loud and very clear, is that the spirit helps us to relate to God. Now, as I said, I'm getting some supervision with a trained psychologist, and part of the supervision is he's breaking down my life into five areas, and for me, the middle part of it is God. And so when he said that, I said, now, I'm a Christian, so you know that God is the center for me, but when a non-Christian comes to see you as a psychologist, do you put God in the middle? And he goes, no, I write spirit in the middle. And I said, so for a psychologist, the spirit or the spiritual things is majorly important. In fact, 1/5, if you break down the other four, as important of everything else in our very being, our balance, and our walk and talk through life. And he said, absolutely. And if you're not engaging in the area of the spirit in your very being, then there's a part of you missing out completely. And back in the 70s and 80s, I used to listen to testimonies where people used to say stuff like, there was just something missing in my life. And Watchman Nee talked about the God-shaped hole in the very middle of our being that nothing can ever fill except God. And I believe that. That there is a God-shaped place for each and every one of us, and nothing in this world can fill it but God himself. Drugs, money, success, nothing can fill it but God himself. Now, this Bible reading that we have from the book of Luke, some of you might be sitting there going, well, what's that got to do with this? Well, what is body, soul, and spirit is in fact wholeness for you and for me. Now, perfect wholeness was Adam and Eve before sin came into the world. As soon as sin comes into the world, wholeness is no longer complete or no longer perfect. And so for you and me, the desire to be whole, the desire to be complete, the desire to be perfect will not be met in our own strength in any way, shape or form on this earth. We need, when we're on this earth, the work of Jesus in our lives, and when we move from this planet into heaven because we know Jesus, then there will be a completeness. The work of sanctification will be completed only then. So we've got this story that takes place with John and Jesus and a bunch of disciples. Let's have a look at how it relates to wholeness. The story starts off with John hearing about all the things that Jesus is doing. Is that correct? because he's hearing about it and they're telling him, and even the disciples he's got are telling him all the amazing things. So he's hearing about the dead are being raised. He's hearing about the blind beings to be able to see. He's hearing about all these amazing things that take place. Now again, as Peter pointed out, John is in jail. But he wasn't always in jail, was he? John was the precursor before Jesus. John was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. John jumped for joy when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth got filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. So this little baby, John, is pretty significant, don't you think? I know we all think our children are pretty amazing, but John, as a child, was pretty incredible. His ministry was prophesied, and it's a pretty amazing prophecy if you get time to go and have a look at it and read what he gets to do. He comes in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now, that's a pretty cool mantle to have, isn't it? That he comes in that authority. He's out in the wilderness. He wears camel hair clothing. And by the way, ladies, that was not trendy in the time. It was very rough and tough sort of clothes to wear. And he ate wild honey and locusts. So he was a bit of an interesting person. But he's there and he's got one message. One message. How would you like it if every Sunday I got up and preached, I gave you the one message? Every week. You could come to church and go, yeah, I know what Johnny's going to preach on today. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Come and be baptized. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Come and be baptized. That's what John did. And if you read about it, the whole of Israel came out to hear that message. There might be a point in that. Our preparation might have just gone from many hours a week to very little. And we're just going to get up and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Come and be baptized. The amazing thing is that John knew that there was one who was coming after him. His name was Jesus. And when Jesus comes, John knows that he shouldn't be the one baptizing him. But Jesus says, let my Father's will be done. And so John gets to baptize the Lamb of God. And in the book of John, he points to his disciples and says, see that guy? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So this is pretty significant that John has this faith and this ability and the mantle of Elijah. And then he gets arrested. And then his life goes out of a spiral. It's not happening as much as he used to. And he's in a prison cell of one. And he's got a crazy man holding his life in the balance. And we know that the crazy man ends up in a drunken state, letting John the Baptist be executed by beheading. Now I think John knew that his time was coming to an end. And he's hearing all this stuff about what Jesus is doing. But for some reason, he sends his disciples to say, are you really the Christ? Isn't that an amazing question? Are you really the one that I said you were? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Are you the one that you know, when I was in my mother's womb, that, you know, when we met, when you were in the womb, that my mum got filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you the one? I mean, he's got tick, 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 hasn't he? If anyone should know who Jesus is, John the Baptist should, don't you think? Yeah, he should. He should know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the one. So there's something terrible happening. There is something terrible going on in John. His physical being must be just sagging, being in that sort of prison, be terrible. I reckon his soul is maybe depressed or down, and his spirit is just not engaged. He's hearing all these amazing things. And so the disciples come to Jesus. So let's just pick up the story. So they come to Jesus. When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask you, are you the one who has come? Or should we expect someone else? And at that very time, Jesus cured. So Jesus doesn't answer them. He doesn't say anything. He just goes about curing those that are there. He goes about with many diseases and sicknesses and evil spirits, and he goes about giving sight to the blind, And then after doing all this, he turns to them and says, now go back and report to John what you have just seen and heard. Well, hold on. John already knows that message. That's what they told him in the first place. And so then he says this, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. If you're blind, and Jesus has just made you see, are you going to be pretty excited about that? Hey, I was once blind, but now I can see. That's a pretty significant miracle. If you had leprosy and Jesus came into your life and you were no longer a leper, your life is forever transformed by the power of God. That's pretty significant. If you were deaf, if you had sickness or illness, and Jesus comes into your life and brings wholeness, a step of wholeness, the blind, wholeness, leprosy, wholeness, the deaf, wholeness, the sick, the diseased, the demonic, wholeness. So there's this whole bunch of wholeness taking place. And that's the message the disciples go back to John with. Does John get told, P.S. mate, I've been training the disciples in some recon work, and on the second night after the full moon, we're going to break into the prison and set you free. No. There's no rescue. There's no angels going to come and kick down the gate and open the door for John to leave. John's ministry on planet Earth was coming to an end. His wholeness is about that last line that Jesus says, do not lose faith because of me. In other words, hold fast to the task before you. John the Baptist from the womb knew that his task was about preparing the way of Jesus. And John the Baptist sent some of his disciples off to follow Jesus. Go and follow this one. This is the one you want. You don't want me anymore. Go and follow this guy. Because when the bridegroom comes, the others get out of the road. And John knew this. So how does that relate to you and me today in the area of wholeness? Some of the songs that we've sung today, Refiner's Fire, talk about us letting God work in us. Now I don't know about you, but I need the work of the Holy Spirit in and through my life, because I know I am not a perfect man. I know there's some nice things said about me there, but there could also have been some very unnice things said about me. I know I'm not a perfect man. I know I need the work of God in my life. I know I need his forgiveness each and every day. I know my soul needs to be put right with him, and I know my spirit continues to cry out to him, and I know my body continues to whinge and complain. As I look at this verse, this passage, I get to understand that wholeness is for the body of Christ. Sometimes we will preach a message that is all about Jesus fixing your life up because you're important. And it is. And I will pray for everyone I know that is not doing well, that has sickness or disease, that is blind, that is deaf, that has leprosy, just like Jesus. But at the same time, I'll place everybody in Jesus' hands because he has the big picture in mind. I finally finished reading this book called Insanity of Obedience. It's only taken me almost 11 months to finish. And reading this book, it's like there's two forms of Christianity in the world. There's the Christianity that I get to live here on the sunny coast, and there's Christianity where people live in persecuted countries. Just recently, the Caloundra City Pastors Network hosted Open Doors to come and share here on a Wednesday night. And the guest speaker, a guy called Simon Ray, came and celebrated that with us, and he shared some stories with him that blew my mind. One of the stories he shared, I want to share with you. It was when he was in Vietnam, and he was visiting a church there, and he went and saw what the pastor was doing and celebrated church with them. And after the service, the pastor said, "Come and share with me and my family around a meal, and come back to where I live." And so Simon went with him, and they went out to the front of the church, around to the back of the church, and they climbed up a ladder into the back section of the church, which was the loft of the area in the church. So it'd be like a loft, or a loft up there behind the back of the church. And that's where the pastor lived with his family, with a little kitchenette, a bed, and a shared toilet outside with the other neighbours. And so when Simon was up the back looking at that, he said to the pastor, "Let me pray for you, and I'll pray that God will provide a house for you." And the pastor looked at him and took three steps back, and with a bewildered look on his face said, "Why would you pray for that?" And Simon said, "Because you obviously need a house." And this pastor went, "No. If you're going to pray for anything, pray that my church would grow, that lives would be transformed by the power of God, that this community would get to know Jesus. Don't worry about a house for me. I've got a place, thank you very much. I don't need anything else, but my community needs Jesus." And Simon was just so convicted. And if you read through this book, it happens again and again and again. Us white fellas go into all these places where persecution is happening, and we go, "Oh, well, we better pray for persecution to stop." And all the people being persecuted goes, "Don't you dare." Because we live for Jesus in this. It's a challenge. And so often we want to hear the good news about what God can do for me and what God can do for you. And the reality is, sometimes the good news, according to Hebrews chapter 11, part B of chapter 11, is not a lot of good news. A lot of people died not seeing the vision that they saw come about. A lot of people were sawn in two in logs, and a whole bunch of it. You can read it yourself. But they held on to Jesus. They did not lose faith in any way, shape, or form. They lived for God no matter what. And so when we sing a song like "Refine as Fire," it's about living for Jesus no matter what. Putting that shingle up in front of the house and saying, "I am going to live for Jesus. And my life is going to be transformed, and I'm going to wholly live for God." Now, when I was in Bible college, one of my lecturers was a guy called Ivan Bowden. And he used a lot of simple things for a simple guy like me to understand. Now, how many of you would say that you're in Christ? You're in Christ. You're in Christ. Okay, cool. He gave an example. So I'm going to give the same example. I don't think he used a $50 note. I think he used a $5 note. And this is not meaning that I'm 10 times better. Oh, there's a $1 note. How about that? All right, so if I put... I've obviously used this analogy before when I was a youth pastor. All right, so $50, it's in the Bible, correct? So the Bible contains the $50. The $50 is in the Bible. Does the $50 no longer exist? It does. It exists. It's in the Bible. It's in there. You can find it. You can open that up. It is, Pamela. And you can find the $50. So when you say you are in Christ, you are in Christ, hid in Christ, in all his authority and power, but you still exist. The work of God, the work of the Word, can work in and through you because you're in it. The Spirit of God can work in and through you because you're in it. It's like going down to the surf and jumping in the water. You still exist, but you're in the water. And if you do not swim between the flags and you jump into the rip, you will go where the rip takes you. But you still exist, and you're still in the water being taken where that rip takes you. Wouldn't it be fantastic that we would jump into God and let God take us where he wants to? We still exist. We're still alive. We're still moving in what God has for us. But we go and do as he leads us. Now, if you've ever been stuck in a rip, it's scary at times. It may cause you to step out in faith that it will be okay, that someone may come to your rescue. For those of us to follow Jesus means for us to let him come to our rescue if we need rescuing. John the Baptist did not need rescuing. John the Baptist had finished his season, and it was time for him to go to glory. And he got, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For you and for me to live a whole life, to be about the kingdom of God, has to be our priority. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your work in and through our lives. As we come later today, Lord, to share around the table, Lord, let us remember what you will do in and through us if we give you permission to do it. Thank you, Lord God, that you do want to work in people's lives. And we will never give up praying for one another, lifting each other before the Lord and seeking your miraculous work in each of our lives. But Father, no matter what, we will walk with you and talk with you and share your love each and every day. For the kingdom of God is here. It is time for us to repent, to let God work his way. Amen.